have you ever imagined sharing a passion for singing with others who enjoy nothing more than singing in what they believe in and enjoying in one voice to share those beliefs? That's a little bit about the Oxford Sea Green Singers, a group that take their name from the colour of the ribbons the Levellers wore during the English Civil War. They meet every Thursday in Oxford, and amongst their members, Pete Cranston, who joins us now in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jo.
It's a great group. I was reading a little bit about you guys this morning on the website as well. But tell us a little bit about
SeaGreenSingers.com.
That's it. You've got it in. I was going to do it for you, but you preempted me there. Tell us a little bit about the history behind the Sea Green Singers.
It's been going for about 10 years, and it's a group of people who enjoy singing. I don't know if you sing.
Very badly.
Yeah, but most of us, we sang as children.
Everyone enjoys singing.
We sang as children, and as you get older, you forget. And I certainly found that I hadn't sung since I was at school. So I was looking around for a group to sing with. And I went to the Levellers Day event in Burford, which is an annual event to celebrate the Levellers. And the Sea Green Singers sang there, so I decided to join them. And we're a group of people that sing. We enjoy singing. That's the fundamental reason we're there and the fun that goes with that. But we're also committed, all of us, in different ways to social change and politics. And singing has always been a really central part of political movements all around the world. So the kind of songs we sing go back hundreds of years in some cases, and some are very, very contemporary. And they're the kind of songs that were sung at Greenham Common, that were sung in South Africa around the struggles there, that have been sung in revolutions, that have been sung in women movement, in strikes and so on. So we learn the songs, we sing together, and then we have fun.
So you wouldn't be able to pinpoint whether it was the singing or the messages of the song that drew you most to the group, but it was just an amalgamation of the two.
Precisely.
So having not sung since you were a child, was it a daunting experience to be joining these fine-voiced folk?
Absolutely. But it's reassuring because we're not... I mean, I sing in another choir, which is slightly more professional, and that's very scary. But this one is a group of people who want to spend time together and sing about particular issues. Some people read music, most people don't. We learn the songs together, we learn them by ear. And people are welcomed in as soon as they arrive, and we generally speaking get a new song, or at least a song we go over again every week. So it's very easy to pick up, and soon you become part of a group that has a repertoire, and then you develop your own personal repertoire of songs you can sing to your friends.
Now, as you said, song has always been very much an instrument of politics, hasn't it? And especially when it comes to social injustice, songs have been such a strong way of getting messages across. And you've always been very interested politically in as you said, social change. But had singing been a vehicle that you thought that you would use or had considered using before?
I've heard people singing. I mean, we've all chanted at demonstrations, and we all watched, for example, during the South African struggle, the power of Nkosi Sikelel as a way of gathering people together. And so it was wonderful, because to learn those songs, some of the people in the group have worked in different parts of the world, and so we learn some of those songs as we go along. And if you think about the power of songs at Greenham, where women were able to, as songs do, they build a sense of solidarity, they build a sense of community solidarity, and it gives you courage to be singing with your friends, and you're able to march forward in a different kind of beat.
Where do you perform?
A variety of places. I mean, all the fairs, the Green Fair and the Fair Trade Fair in Oxford. We've been to Campsfield to sing there, to initially slightly surprised group of people in Campsfield, but soon they joined in again because some of the songs we sang were recognisable. We sing at demonstrations, we sing at some of the peace movements, we've sung at Faslane, where a lot of the activists in Oxford are connected to the people that we sing with, and so we're part of the groups that come together for those kind of events.
It must be an incredible group when you do all come together of different backgrounds as well and coming from different walks of life. How big is the group?
It varies. There's a kind of core group, I guess, of 10 to 15, and the biggest we've been up to, I guess, is 25. So we're not intimidating, we're not a huge group, but there's always a group of people that meet on a weekly basis, and we tend to swell with the seasons. We get less people in the summer and more people in the winter.
Yeah, a chance to huddle up and
absolutely
get warm. And to sing.
And we're next door to the Bear Pub, so that has something to do with the event.
Always a plus. Having people coming from such varied backgrounds as well must musically influence the group from the pieces that you do perform. As you said, singing songs from Africa, which would be completely alien to many people, but the sentiment is something that once you are all singing as a group, I suppose, overrides any geographical distance.
Absolutely, and they're very much songs that were designed to be sung in harmony, because we sing in harmony most of the time. And we're also part of of a nationwide movement. There have been socialist and progressive choirs for 20 or 30 years across the UK. The Sheffield Choir is a famous one. So there are festivals, annual festivals, when hundreds of people get together in a particular town. This year it was Scarborough, and fill the town with music. And so it is a question of learning to sing, that joyous sense of singing with other people and singing your own part, but hearing other people singing with you, and learning to balance your voice against other people.
Now, your day job isn't that far removed, really, is it, when it comes to sort of the ethos of it? Because you work in international development and social change using technology rather than song this time. Tell us a little bit about what that means.
Well, the easiest to probably describe the last time I went to visit some projects and to work with some projects. I was in Kenya this summer in a number of places, but a small town called Baringo, where an organisation I work with called the Arid Lands Information Network has a small community centre which they've equipped with a couple of computers. And those community centres are now places where young people come and connect over Facebook and over things that people connect with. They come and learn about agriculture. Women's groups come and explore things they want to learn. So it's a way of equipping normal community facilities with modern equipment. But equally, as I'm sure you know, across Africa, the mobile phone has become the technology of choice. And so organizations are experimenting using mobile phones for using SMS to send market prices, ways of asking questions to experts in different difficult parts, extending through to e-health, using electronic equipment for health interventions, engaging with the doctor, a specialist nurse might be talking to a doctor about a particular patient using a mobile phone. So that's the kind of area we work in.
And it's not just Africa, it's South Asia as well.
Yeah, I mean, the people that I work with work around the world, and I've done specifically work in sub-Saharan African and South Asian countries.
How long have you been doing that?
14, 15 years.
So you must have seen some huge development in that time. I know you're mentioning working in Kenya there, and with my family still living there, every time I go back, every 18 months or so, the progression in technology and the fact that everybody does have a mobile is quite staggering to witness. So you must have seen some real changes.
Oh, the massive amount of change. If you consider going to India 10 or 15 years ago, or even 20 years ago, when it was extremely difficult to get online, if you wanted to get online, the impact in the last 20 years of the explosive growth in India of the use of technology, that India has become a centre for the world ICT industry. And there's nowhere you can go, more or less now, where you can't get a mobile signal. You can almost always find a cyber cafe or a community telecentre. And organisations are using technology exactly in as sophisticated a way as the Oxfams and the Christian Aids and all the other organisations. So while Oxfam's got a current appeal for the Kenyan famine, there'll be organisations within those countries using exactly the same kind of online technologies to raise money within their own countries, to communicate with supporters around the world.
Although you're working with cutting-edge technology in this field, working with the communities you're working in, I suppose, does also feed into the musical side of your life as well. Are you privy to sort of experience some of the cultural exchange that way?
I mean, you back to Baringo in northern Kenya, and you know Kenya well. The day we were there was an open day where a number of organisations came together to share what they were doing using technology and social change. And the ceremony included groups of what were once refugees, different tribal groups who, during different struggles, and the most recent one, the election violence of 2 years ago, had come to this particular place and looked after the community. And they came together in front of the audience and sang different songs. So we had Maasai songs, and we had Kikuyu songs, and we had other songs from other groups. And different parts of the audience would get up and join different parts of the song and different parts of the dancing. So singing and dancing has always been a central part of how communities celebrate.
And you, as you said before, bring back some of these songs as well, because your choir sings songs from all over the world. You will be, as you said, you ebb and flow with the seasons, and coming through to winter, does this become a particularly busy time for
it's
you?
It's a good time to join, yeah, because the events we do at the fairs, the Green Fair and so on, they're nice, warm places to come and sing. Have your first experience, if you've not done it before, of singing in public with a group. We meet every Thursdays around 8. The meeting place is in St. Columba's Church Hall, which, if you don't know Oxford, is in Alfred Street, just off the High Street. Mm-hmm. If you know the Bear Pub, it's next door to the Bear Pub.
It's always good to geographically place places near a pub.
Absolutely.
The Bear can't be missed. And you, what sort of age range of singers perform with you?
All ranges.
Anybody with half a voice?
Anyone with half a voice and an interest in singing with people who share the same set of ideas with you. That's the audience.
Well, more can be found on the website, which you very kindly gave us earlier, but it is sigreensingers.com if people would like to find out more. Pete, it's been lovely talking to you.
Thanks, Jo.
Thanks very much for coming in.